If this country really has ambitions of having a 5G revolution like the one being talked about at CES this week, well, we need something else first, and that would be fiber optic connections that reach everyone.
Well, it's been around for 45 years, and what it is synthetic glass in which the manufactured process is so carefully controlled that light can travel through that glass for many dozens of miles without losing any of the signal that it's carrying.
Susan Crawford is a professor at Harvard Law School and the author of Fiber, The Coming Tech Revolution and Why America Might Miss It, out today. And here's what she means when she says we might miss it. Of the 119 million households in the United States, only about 10 million have access to fiber connections. China, on the other hand, has the goal of connecting 300 million of its 455 million households to cheap, high-capacity fiber by 2020. Susan Crawford says fiber technology is the biggest tech story the United States should be paying attention to in 2019.
Submarine cables connecting countries all have fiber in them, and the networks among cities in the United States have fiber. Just a footnote, they're becoming less competitive, so we got to watch that. The real bottleneck, the real problem, is that for connections running all the way to people's homes and businesses or very close, we don't, by and large, have fiber optic. Maybe 10% in the most optimistic counting of Americans have access to it. It's extremely expensive where it exists, and it's just not common as it is in lots of other places.
And how does that impact us? I mean, almost everybody I know has a cell phone. Most people have internet access. But how does not having fiber optics really hurt us?
Well, this really is like electricity. People used to think that electricity was a luxury and that all it was good for was a single light bulb in your house or maybe a street light. And now we expect that wherever you go, whatever you need to do, you'll have access to essentially unlimited amounts of electricity that powers factories, made possible new ways of making a living, brought refrigeration to America. And we're in that light bulb situation now in America when it comes to high-speed internet access. We're content with something that is just a little shadow of what could be possible if we had this communications capacity.
So I remember, I'm a New Yorker, I remember maybe 10, 15 years ago when fiber optics were the thing and they were ripping up the streets of New York City to put fiber optic cables in there for our cell phones and internet. So who's holding this up? Where is the bottleneck here? Is it the companies? Is it a lack of training? Like, what's leading us to have this gap?
It's all policy, Tanzina. It's no mystery what's happened. The New York story is a special case here. Bloomberg administration signed a contract with Verizon, essentially requesting it to run to all the cities and residences in the city. But Verizon has been able to pretty much pick and choose where it provides that service, and its prices are very high. So that's what's happened in New York City. A far better way to do this, and a way that more than 700 cities and cooperatives in America are doing it, is to lay down the equivalent in fiber of a street grid, a wholesale passive network of glass that doesn't itself provide services but reaches every home and business and allows for lots and lots of retail competitors to come on top of that network and sell cheap competitive service to everybody. And that's the model that's been followed in places like South Korea and Japan, Singapore, and it's been extremely successful.
This seems like, as you suggest, that we might actually miss the boat on this.
Yeah. Well, what it's part of a very big story for America, the romance of private industry being responsible for everything good. And as we learned with electricity, private companies are never going to provide the kind of cheap service that everybody needs in the country in order to flourish. And especially over the last 10 or so years, we deregulated everything having to do with the high-speed internet access market. So this is of a piece with a lot of other stories facing the country right now. What's special about this story is that having world-class communications actually would underline every policy we care about, everything from climate change to better jobs for people and keeping rural areas intact. Everything is going to require focusing on this problem.
Who are the big players in this space? Internationally and domestically, we've talked a little bit about a company called Huawei, a Chinese telecom giant we've been hearing a lot about. Are they involved in fiber optics?
Huawei definitely is. And with their hard-charging corporate culture, as the New York Times reported recently, they're serving many Iranian cities with fiber optic and are reaching into many countries at this point. In America, the huge telecom players are Comcast, Charter, AT&T, CenturyLink, and Verizon. And those five account for the entire marketplace in the United States. A private company left to its own devices will systematically, it isn't malign, it just makes sense, they will rationally pick the places that will give them the highest rate of return the quickest. And so as electricity, that tends to be densely populated urban areas that are rich first, and then poor urban areas and really the rurals get left out.
I'm wondering, you know, we talked a little bit about places like South Korea and Hong Kong and Singapore. Those are places that you visited where you say that fiber optics is not just an essential part of the infrastructure, but that it has had an impact on these cities. Can you describe that for us?
Well, the impact has two faces. For one thing, if you're in Stockholm or Tokyo or Seoul, you just expect to have world-class communications capacity without thinking about it. You never wait. These people are very impatient. They're not going to wait for anything. And so
can't be more impatient than New Yorkers.
I actually think they are. South Koreans told me that coming to New York was like taking a rural vacation.
Oh, wow.
Get that in your mind.
Yeah, because I'm going to stand down now, Susan.
Communications capacity is so crippled compared to theirs. On the other hand, these are very small markets and very hierarchical societies that don't have the kind of entrepreneurial spirit that the U.S. has. And so we haven't yet seen the big developments that are going to happen with this communications capacity coming from those other countries. I know we'll see it from the United States if we get this right.
What if we don't get it right, is the question. I mean, we've heard a lot about a quote-unquote digital divide in this country for decades now. If we don't get it right, what are the consequences?
Well, we're subject to a number of digital divides. If we don't get it right, we'll obviously be entrenching and amplifying the existing horrifying inequality in this country, as between rural areas and urban areas on the one hand, and also between poorer Americans and richer Americans. It's easy to see that. But the crushing digital divide really is coming internationally, where the U.S. ceases to be a relevant player on the global stage if it can't have the capacity to experiment with uses of information that require lots of capacity. If we can't do that, we will not be looking the rest of the world in the real rearview mirror. It will be China that will be dominating global markets, as we're already seeing.
Susan Crawford is the author of Fiber, The Coming Tech Revolution and Why America Might Miss It, and she's also a professor at Harvard Law School. Susan, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.